Take our Bibles this morning to the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 6. So we continue on in our series in the book of Luke. We did kind of skip over a portion of Luke number 6. We're going to look at the end of Luke number 6 this morning. We're going to probably get back to Luke 6 here in a little while when it comes to the Sermon on the Mount, but we're just looking at the end of that message that Jesus gave here, Luke chapter number 6. We're going to look at verses 46 through 49 this morning. Not a long passage of Scripture, but a very powerful passage of Scripture. Luke chapter number 6, Jesus is at the end of preaching an amazing message, one of his first public ministry messages. I know he had been in the different synagogues, but this is one of the first ones that recorded out in the open air type thing when he had a great following. A lot of people were there. Matthew chapter number 5 and number 6, they give a longer passage concerning this, but this may be the same time period, or it might be a different time period that they're recording here, but same type of messages. He preaches to this group of people, and he talks to them about things that they never ever considered. He doesn't just talk about the rules and regulations, but he actually gets to the heart of the matter. He preaches things that they had never probably ever considered, like love your enemies. He talks about giving, but he also talks about loving the unlovable. He talks about dealing with not judging other people. And if you feel like you have to help someone, make sure you deal with your own heart before you ever deal with someone else's heart. And the message is unlike anything they ever heard before. And he comes and he draws the message to a conclusion. And usually at the conclusion of a message or a conclusion of a sermon, you try to say something that's going to stick. And he does it in verse number 6. Very powerful verse, very powerful thought. In Luke chapter number 6, verse number 46, the Bible says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He says, "Why are you calling me Lord, and you don't listen to me?" And we're going to talk about that in a minute, but he after he does that, he brings an illustration to just try to drive the point home. Some of you will remember this story, and it talks about the wise man, the foolish man. Even though they do not use the wise and foolish here, that's found in the book of Matthew. But since we're going through the book of Luke, it's a similar story here. It says in verse 47, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." He says, okay, if you're going to come and you're going to hear, but you do these things, this is the type of person you're going to be like. And it shows it here in verse number 48. "He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, a stream beat vehemently upon the house, that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Verse number 49, he says, "But he that heareth and doeth not, it's like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth." Now remember, it's upon the sand in the book of Matthew. "Against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." This morning I like to preach a message called, "Why Do You Call Me Lord?" Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we give great, great consideration to these verses. Lord, especially that question, "Why do you call me Lord?" Lord, many times when we don't even want to listen, don't want to obey. Lord, help us to consider that question and help us consider the comparisons of these builders and the contrast in these builders, but also the consequences. Lord, speak to our hearts in a special way today. Lord, energize us and encourage us and motivate us to recognize you as Lord. And Lord, that as we see you as Lord, that we want to treat you as Lord, as being obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. So he's preaching to a large audience. He's getting to the end of the message, and he says, look, you've come to me, and many a times you've followed me because you enjoyed my teaching, or you followed me because of the fact that I've done these miracles. And you come up, and you say, Lord, and you say, Lord, Lord. And he comes and asks a very pointed question. And point number one is, consider this question. Why call ye me Lord, and do not the things which I say? See, if you call him Lord, that means that you need to follow him. See, a Lord has servants. And if he is truly Lord, that means that you are a servant of his, and you recognize him as Lord, you are a servant of his, and you are subject unto him. It means that you do what he says without questioning. And he's just bringing this answer to them in this question and saying, hey, I want you to consider something. You come to me and I just preach a sermon that says all these different things, all the things that would like to be living in the kingdom. And now I'm saying to you, you're calling me Lord like you're obeying me. And I want you to think about this. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? In all reality, any expression of opposition to God's will is really truly a denial that he is Lord of our lives. And when we look at the Bible and we read the Bible, it's filled with commandments. I know it's filled with encouraging things. There's blessings, there's promises. But Jesus is saying, look, if I am truly Lord of your life, that means you're going to obey me. If we look at the form of a servant and we think of a servant, his place is of complete and total obedience to the master. It means that we confess him as Lord. It's to yield ourselves to obey him and the things that he has declared. To call him Lord and do not the things that he says, it's a falsehood. In the book of Acts, there's an interesting verse. Remember when we preached, I think probably last year, when the vision came down and all the animals, the unclean animals, and Peter was there, and the Lord tells him to rise up and kill. But listen to what he says. And there was a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And there's a contradiction there. Not so, Lord. So it's either Lord, or it's not so. You can't have both. As you can't say, hey, I know that you're Lord. I see you as God. You are my Lord and my master. But then we turn around and say, I'm not going to do that. What that is saying is, hey, you're not really truly Lord at that moment in time in my life. He's not sitting on the throne of your life when we say not so to him. It's a total contradiction when we call him Lord, but also tell him no. And that, to me, this is a powerful question. To me, it rings true in our lives. And I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about when we recognize him as Savior, we ask him to save us, and we know that he's supposed to be Lord of our lives, but we turn around and we say things, Lord, I'm willing to do anything you want, just not that. We sing praises like, praise the Lord. We talk about how he's Lord of our lives, but we need to stop and consider the relationship here. He's talking to a large audience of people, and there's a difference between being a follower and being a disciple. And he's talking to them and saying, I want you to get something. I want you to understand something here. If you're going to call me Lord, if you really truly say I am Lord, then you need to do the things that I'm telling you to do. But that's not true for all Christians today. That's not true for many Christians today. We pick and choose the things that we want, but that's not really making him Lord of our lives. And he says this question, and what a pointed question. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? It's an amazing thought, and something that I think that if we could even just stop preaching the message right now and say, hey, isn't that something we need to work on? James chapter 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There's a point where Jesus is trying to help them understand, yes, you may call me Lord, but when you say no to me, you're taking me off the throne and putting yourself on the throne. It means that no longer is he Lord of our lives. Instead, how we feel is Lord of our lives. And in the book of James, what it's saying here, it's deceiving ourselves. It's when we sing the praises and when we talk about it and we recognize our relationship, we know he's supposed to be Lord, but then we say, no, no, I'm not going to do that. Then is he Lord anymore? He's not Lord of our lives when we say no at that point in time. You know, people come to church for different reasons. They hear the word of God with different intentions. I remember reading a story. There was a pastor there one Sunday morning. He noticed a young lady on the front row. And the young lady was sitting, and she was listening to every single word he said. And as he's preaching, he's like, man, this is great. Sometimes even adults struggle with listening, but that little girl was over there and listening intently. And after the church was over, he was going to go over and congratulate her or thank her for listening. And the first things out of her mouth was, Did you know you said the word the 242 times during your sermon? She was listening, but she was listening to see how many times you said the word the. Man, and it comes to the point that I'm sure that was very discouraging for that preacher. People come to church for different reasons. Sometimes people come to see what someone else is wearing. Sometimes they come to see what the pastor is going to say wrong. Sometimes they come to, you know, try to find fault. Jesus says, look, if you're going to call me Lord, you need to obey these things. Don't just come and hear and see and say amen and say, that's great, that's wonderful, and then walk away and not do the things you heard me say. Ezekiel talks about this. Ezekiel 33 is, I think, one of the most powerful verses in all the Bible, or two verses. It's verses 31 and 32. And it talks about the day and time that we live in my mind. I know it's referring to Israel as they're getting ready to be taken into captivity. They come unto thee as a people that cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them, for with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth out their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. Once again, God, Jesus Christ, is Lord. I am not Lord. But when the Bible is being preached and it's God's word that is being said and it's being taught and preached, that means it's things that we're supposed to obey and listen to. What Jesus is saying here, he says, I've said all these things, but you're not really going to go do those things. You're not going to really put these truths to light. You're going to call me Lord. You're going to say me Lord. You're going to recognize me as master. He says, but you don't even do the things that I say. This morning, consider that question. What a powerful thought. Why do we call him Lord when we don't even do the things we know we're supposed to do? He's not really Lord of our lives at that moment in time. And then he drives it home with illustration. Jesus was the master teacher. He gave wonderful illustrations, and he showed us things, and he taught us things to us with his words and with his stories. And he gives this illustration that we're familiar with. I want you to consider the comparison here. Look what it says in verse number 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. So they're probably a little confused there. He says, look, I'm calling you Lord, but am I really supposed to obey everything you says? And he says, look, okay, let me teach this with a story. It's a story here that if you actually go and you hear what I say and you do them, then you're going to be a wise man. You're going to be safe. If you hear what I say and do not do them, which means not treat him as Lord, then you're going to be in trouble. Think about the comparisons here. You see in this story, they both heard the words of Christ. If you go and you look at it, what it says in verses 48 and 49, they both heard. The wise man and the foolish man, they both heard. They both built houses. Both of them had the same understanding of what Jesus said. They had heard the same messages. They had heard the same stories. They heard the same points that he had made. And he's saying to them, okay, now you have all the same information. Now one person did it and listened. The other person did it and did not listen. So the comparison was that they all heard the same stories. They both built houses, and I think they built houses in the same location. Once again, I know this is a story and it's a parable, but you think about it, the storm, what's going on, the same storm happens in both places, so they at least were near each other. And the point of the story is, and the illustration was, there's a difference on how you react to the teachings and preachings of Jesus Christ. There's a difference to how you act to what the Word of God says. You might come and you might hear the exact same thing, but will you do it is the question. Well, so we see the comparison here. Look at the contrast. The wise man hears the Word of God and he does it. It says that he dug deep. He built his house upon a foundation, and that foundation was a rock. The one who builds a house upon the rock is called wise in Matthew chapter 7. It's because he heard and he did. This is the primary disciplines of wisdom. This is how we get wisdom. Not only do we hear the word of God, we do the word of God. There's a difference between being wise and being foolish. Wisdom is found in two pillars, hearing and doing. Foolishness is found in hearing and not doing. So we see the comparisons, what the contrast is, the foolish man hears, but he does not do. The other is one who built the house, it says, on no foundation. One who ignores the word of God. One who is taught the word of God, but rejects it. Why would a person do this? Why would a person choose to build a house with no foundation versus somebody who had to dig deep and work hard and put the foundation on a rock? It's because it's easier that way. The people who build on no foundation, it's because it's easy. It requires little effort. Just a little change here, a little change there. They can fool themselves, as it says in James, they can deceive themselves and thinking that everything's all right just by hearing what the Bible says. Everything's good because I know what it says. But a life that is built on no foundation, a life that built on sand, is one that has no commitment, that has no sacrifice, no faith. You can hear the word of God and then you're going to choose to react to it. Oh, that's something I want to do or that's something I don't want to do. That's foolishness. Because when someone hears the word of God and says, that's what I want to do and I'm going to obey that, that's what the Bible calls us wisdom. He says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and doeth not the things I say? Consider the consequences here. Here you see the description of the storm. It talks about the flood that arose and how the stream had beat vehemently upon the house and how the one that had a foundation that was safe during the storm and how the one that did not have a foundation was destroyed during the storm. I want you to see the consequences. The first thing is the person who built the house, they had a house that was still usable. They had a house that was usable. You know, their house wasn't destroyed. It wasn't gone. They could still go in the next day and go in and out. It was something that was usable. And if you will learn to not only hear, but do the word of God, you know what you're going to be? You're going to be a usable servant for God. Not only was it usable, it was also stable. They did not have to fear. I can imagine what it would have been like when the storm was coming and the flood arose. If you would have been in that house during that time period, it would have been scary. It would have been fearful. And that's what happens to many people's lives nowadays. The people who build their foundation upon Jesus Christ, not only is it usable, it's stable. We have faith. We have faith in the Word of God. They stayed in that house because it was built on the foundation. They knew they didn't have to run. They knew they were going to be safe. They knew that they had built their life upon Jesus Christ. And as a Christian, we can have that foundation and we can be stable. And even when the winds and these waves of this life, they come and they haunt us and they come and they try to rip our house down and rip our lives apart, we are built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and we can have trust in Him and Him alone because not only did we hear the Word of God, but we've done what the Word of God said. But that's not the case with the man that did not have a foundation. The man that did not have foundation, if you look at the end of it, it says the ruin of the house was great. The person did not have a foundation, their house was useless. It could not withstand the pressures of the storm. It was useless as a shelter for the man. It was useless as a shelter for his family. In the same way, a man or a woman who is unstable and up and down and inconsistent is a useless servant of God. They're unstable because they have no hope. They're worried. I didn't do what was right. I didn't build upon. I didn't listen to what God said. And I didn't do what was right. And now I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to be safe. If I would have just listened to the word of God, then, and I would have trusted in the word of God, not just heard it. If I would have trusted in it, then I could have my faith anchored in that. But because I don't have my faith anchored in that, because I didn't do what I was supposed to do, where's my faith going to be at? My house is gone. It's not stable anymore. It's not useful anymore. And Jeremiah, the chapter 18, it's a story about when the Lord sends Jeremiah to the potter. And he's got some interesting verses in there. It says, If it do evil in my sight that you obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. And this is Jeremiah chapter 18. He says, look, if you're going to continue to do wicked, I'm going to repent the things that I've done that's good. Verse number 11, he says, now therefore go speak. He says, he's speaking to Jeremiah. They are on the brink of being taken into captivity. Jeremiah preaches for 40 years, receives no converts. people do not respond to his preaching and teaching. And he says, now therefore go speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Israel, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. He says, return. He says, make your doing evil. You return from your evil ways. If not, there's going to be a problem happening. The next verse says, their response. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Their response was, we hear what you're saying, God, but in our mind, there is no hope. We're going to go ahead and do what we want to anyway. And that's what the foolish man is. That's the man that has no foundation, is they hear what the word of God, they've listened to the word of God. Jeremiah taught it over and over. Jesus is sitting here and he's saying, why do you call me Lord when you don't even listen to what I say? And then when bad times come, Jesus says, look, get it right, get it right. And he says, no, we don't have any hope. We didn't listen to you back then, and because we don't have that foundation, we know that we are without hope. And a person who hears the word and does not do it, they're like, what's the point? Their lives are unstable. Their lives are to the point where they are useless to God until they are willing to not only hear, but also willing to obey. Proverbs, it brought me to an interesting thought in Proverbs 25:19. It says, confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. So how does that go along? Is when we have confidence in a person who is unfaithful, when you send someone to do a job and they're not really worthy of that because they have not earned that position or earned the right to have that, but you still have confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. And to me, the person who hears the word of God and says, I don't want to do it, that's an unfaithful person. Some thoughts that I'd like for you to think about as we get ready to close. We went to teen camp, you know, not this past week, the week before that. And I looked at these kids, and I saw the kids and the young people, and they were, most of them, you know, we had our church kids there, but there was mostly a group from Temple Baptist Church, and most of them came from church homes and Christian homes, and they had a good church and other places, a few other churches were there, and I saw them listen to the Word of God taught. I saw them listen to the Word of God preached. I even saw how many times they would respond, and they would respond to the Word of God when it's preached and come to an altar, and I think that's good. I think altars are good. I think altar calls are good. I think for me, when I'm dealing with the Lord, the Lord's dealing with my heart, I make a decision greater at the altar than I would at my seat. That's for me. But, you know, they would empty their seats, but then I would see them the next day and the way that they would act. The memory verses they talked about was a lot of times about their mouths and using their mouths. And I see how they would respond to, in sporting events, that things were just, the attitudes were amazing, that they weren't very good. And then I would hear them talk amongst themselves or even inside the dorms and the cabins and things like that. And I got to the point where I'm thinking, they've heard these things preached so many times. Our church has been going to this camp for 15 years. Some of our young people have been going 7 years, sometimes even 6, 5 years. They've heard these things so many times. But do they apply them to their lives? And then it spoke to my heart saying, how many of us sit in church and been here and been saved for how many years? And we call him Lord, but the things that we hear, we don't apply to our lives. We're more like the foolish man than we are the wise man. We hear it, we hear it, we hear it. We know what we're supposed to do. We hear the truths that are being taught and preached. And the Lord is asking us this question, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I ask or say? Those kids, when they respond, I think they're sincere. I'm not saying that they're going out to put a show on, because I think God speaks to their hearts, and they come and they speak to the Lord after they hear the word of God taught and preached, and they know it's something that they struggle with, but they don't take those things that they learn, and if they don't apply it to their lives, you know what there is? There's no change. There's an unstable life there. There's a useless life there. It's when we hear God speak to our hearts and we respond to that, but we make changes in our lives, that's when we become the wise man. So all those things considered, let me ask first of all, are you a Christian? Are you saved? The Bible teaches us that we're all sinners, we're all lost without Jesus Christ. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God commended his love toward us that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Probably every person in this room has heard the truth of the gospel, which says you must call upon him, confess with thy mouth, and believe in thine heart that he is Lord, that he is someone we should obey. And we will be saved. You've heard those things over and over. Have you ever responded to it? The foolish person is a person who hears and hears and hears, but never obeys. He is saying to you today, come unto him. Call unto him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It means putting your faith and trust in him and him alone. It means deciding that you know that you're a sinner and you're lost without God, and you see that he died on the cross and that he was buried and he rose again. And if you believe and trust in him, you can be saved today. Have you just heard that over and over and over in your life, but never truly made that decision for yourself? Let me encourage you this morning. Why do you call him Lord and do not the things he says? Then I could go and look at a ton of other illustrations. We talked about the tongue this morning in our Sunday school class. Those things that we should apply about speaking with grace, seasoned with salt. Talking about how we use our tongues in the right way and how we can use it in the wrong way. All those things you heard this morning, do we apply them? How about the way we treat our wives, the way we treat our husbands, the way we treat one another, the way we treat our children? What about soul winning? What about Bible reading? What about praying? We've heard and heard and heard. And Jesus is saying, why call ye me Lord and do not the things that I say? Is there something in our lives that we know we're supposed to be doing? We're saying, oh yes, he's Lord. Oh, how I love Jesus. And we recognize him as Lord and where he's on the exalted spot. And we bow our knee. But do we bow our wills? And do we say, I know that you are Lord. I am sorry for things that I have not done. But I want to recognize you as my relationship as Lord, and today I'm going to do my best to start obeying you. What a powerful thought. When I read that verse, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? It convicted my heart. Is he really Lord? Do I really see him as Lord? If so, I should be doing the things he says. As a servant of God, I should be doing the things he says. I hope you feel the same way. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our